We're going to read in the second book of Chronicles, we're going to read first in chapter 14. Then a few verses in chapter 15, and we read finally a few verses in chapter 16. Second Chronicles, first of all, in chapter 14. Verse 1. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and break down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. Also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Then in the 15th chapter, starting again at the first verse. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city. For God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And then finally reading in the 16th chapter and at the 7th verse. And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. The Lord will add his own blessing to these very portions from out of his word for his name's sake. Now, I have read from the three chapters because, well, my wife said I spoke some famous last words in the way over. I said I'm only going to read tonight, I'm not going to preach. You can see from the material we have been reading that there's room for a series of messages on Asa. And I'm really pushed to say as little as possible and let us get down to prayer as soon as possible because of the session and committee meeting that's following. I think that by anybody's standards, this is a story that must rank as a tragedy. And yet, for the great part of his life, Asa was one of the greatest kings that any nation ever had. It's a tremendous thing to read how he came to the throne, how he did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. That's a great statement. Very often, well, let me rephrase that, not often enough, but certainly with some frequency you read of kings that they did that which was right. But we read of Asa that he did that which was good and right. Seems to indicate to me that there's not only a rectitude and a moral purpose to Asa, but there was a heart for godliness. He did that which was good. His heart was set with all his love upon the things of God. He was a separatist. He took away the altars of the strange gods. He made war against idolatry. He was also a very faithful man. And by faithful, I mean literally full of faith. When the Ethiopians and the Lubims came with a million strong army against him. Now, it's easy to say that. But even in this 20th century AD, an army that's a million strong is a mighty strong army. And outnumbered 2-1, Asa goes out in the power of God. We read in verse 11 of chapter 14 that he cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. You can now see the scriptural base for the hymn that we so often sing, we rest in thee, and in thy name we go. Well, Asa was the first one to sing that song, as it were. And he lifted up this prayer to the Lord, obtained a mighty answer, and God gave them a victory that set Israel upon its feet, politically, economically, and religiously. There was great blessing. Azariah came to him, chapter 15, and he said to him, hear me. He said, the Lord is with you. Now that was obvious. The victory couldn't have been had the Lord not been with him. But then he sounds a warning note. As far as the experience of usefulness and blessing goes, we read this, the Lord is with you so long as ye be with him. If you forsake God, then he will forsake you. We're now talking in the realm of usefulness, of blessing, of enjoying the victory of the Lord in our lives from day to day. Asa was learning a very vital lesson. He was learning that enjoyment of the fullness of the blessing does not depend merely on our union with Christ, does not depend merely on the fact that we're covered by the blood atonement and that we're saved. Of course, that's the foundation of the blessing. But the enjoyment of the blessing depends on a daily walk with God. It depends on an up-to-date experience of God. If you forsake the Lord, then he forsake you. How many great men of God have found that out to their cost? How many men whose preaching once set towns on fire lost out with God, and they lost the blessing so entirely that they undid all the good that they had ever done in their lives. You see, as far as salvation goes, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. But as far as useful service goes, when we forsake God, We lose His blessing because He is with us while we be with Him. Asa took that very much to heart. He took the prophecy. He took his own grandmother, threw her out from being queen because she was an idol worshiper. You can see the intensity, the honesty, and the fidelity of this king who is selling out to God. He's willing to take his own grandmother and be rid of her. He's willing to drag his own family name in the mud, as it were. He's willing to exercise judgment. That's a quality that's not very often found in the church, I can tell you. It's usual in the church that people who are not well related, not well positioned, can be judged for sin. But as soon as you get somebody who has a few strings to pull, all you do is a whitewash job and let their sin go on. There are not many churches that will do what Asa did. But he judged sin, even in the royal palace, even at personal cost, he judged sin. This man was in earnest. Now you'll notice the theme running through all those chapters, all those verses, that Asa had victory, and as the result of victory, Asa had strength, and as the result of strength in God, Asa had rest. You know, that's the spiritual lesson for us. That's the way it is in the church. There must be victory and strength and rest. You take it personally. You'll never have rest of mind, you'll never have peace of heart while you're weak. Now, I'm not talking in terms of Christians ever reaching a stage where physically or mentally of themselves they'll be anything else but weak. But where you don't know the strength of the Lord and the power of the Lord, you'll never have rest. But you'll never have strength while you don't have victory. You see, if it weren't for the Lord, this would be a vicious circle. You need victory to get strength, and yet you need strength to get victory. But the Lord's the one who can break into that circle. And when in our weakness we call on Him, He gives the victory. And in the victory, He gives us strength, and through the both of them, He gives us rest. That's exactly what He did here with Asa. That's how we get rest and peace in our own lives. Now you take the church, and the same thing is true there. We start off with the Lord breaking in victory, strengthening His people, and giving them rest from their enemies round about. I want to tell you, when a church gets the power of God, it will have battles. But I believe that its battles will be battles that are so full of the victory of God that even when, as Asa, we have enemies, we enjoy God's rest. Man, that's the greatest time. I remember in the Free Church, I remember a time, maybe I was just speaking in ignorance because I was only a young fellow on the outside and didn't know all the inward workings of churches. There's no church perfect. And the more you get into God's work, the more you realize that. But, you know, I remember a time when churches were being plagued by division. Leading men were being taken off into sin, some of them of the grossest kinds of sin. I remember being able to say in the Free Church that by and large, we were free from that. We were free from it. If something happened, it was, even on a small scale, it was so unusual. Now we had certainly some foolish customers in some of our churches that would have fought with their shadow. You always get somebody like that in there. But by and large, we were free from those things. Now, those were the days when we were most intensely fought from without. When every church in the country, evangelical and apostate, united in one desire, and that was to obliterate us from the face of the earth. When people would literally have spat upon you when they found you were a Free Presbyterian. When they cursed in your face. When from the Prime Minister of the country downward, they decided this thing must go no further. When the fire was burning against us, we were in the battle. But I want to tell you, we were in the victory. And we had rest. I remember saying, as our ministers talked, that there's a danger in growing. There's a danger in spreading out. There's a danger in getting known. There's a danger in becoming accepted. Because the danger is then that men who would never have come into the ranks of the ministry, because first of all, it paid nothing, and it had no prospects of ever paying anything, and it didn't give any prestige, and it didn't hold any prospects of giving that either. They would never have come in under those circumstances. But when acceptance comes your way and recognition comes your way, then there's always the possibility that men can come into the ministry, men can drift into the church, men can even be elected into office, be weak, ruin the testimony. I thank God that as other churches go, we have still known much of the rest of the Lord. But it is significant, since we said those things, that there have been times when we have had to go to men who had come in for the ministry and say, not in these words, of course, for we're very gentle. We are gentlemen in Ulster. Out. Take a one-way ticket to China and never come back. I think the point is clear. Rest through victory and strength. Asa learned that. Let's be willing to judge our own sin. Let's be willing to follow the Lord, whatever it costs. Now, here's the tragedy. Wouldn't you wonder that anything could ever have led a man like this away from the Lord? And yet, his very success led him away from the Lord. There came a time when Israel, the northern neighbor, was moving down to build some strongholds around the border to stop. It's a wee bit like the Berlin Wall, you see, because the Israelites from the northern kingdom were flocking over and they were acknowledging Asa. So Baasha, the king, decided he was going to put up a wall and stop them. He's going to build a stronghold there and stop them. Now, he had a league with the Syrians. But Asa said, I'll get in touch with these Syrians. I'll say, you have a league with me, remember. You had a league with my father. So let's put it into operation. You attack the northern flank, and he'll have to take his troops away from the southern flank, and I'll be able then to rest in peace. Don't you see what was happening? The man who had had rest through victory now wanted the rest of compromise. And he got it for a while. The Lord told him then through Hanani, he said, first of all, if you look from verse 7, because you're allied in the king of Syria, you'll never have victory over the king of Syria. Otherwise you would have. Secondly, he says, you're going to have war from now on. This brings us to the fact, sin destroys peace. Sin destroys rest. You'll find that in your own life. You'll find it in your family's life. You'll find it in church life. I have never seen a church squabble yet that there wasn't sin in. Now, I have seen church squabbles where everybody was in the right, mind you. Nobody's wrong. In fact, as soon as people begin to argue, you find that they're all angels, and they all say exactly the right things, with exactly the right motive, with exactly the right inflections, expressed with the greatest love, and it's just that other carnal rascal that took it the wrong way. That's the way it is. But let me tell you, I have found there's always sin. Always sin. When you forsake the Lord, this is where it leads to. Now we're getting to the text I really wanted to speak on. But as I told my wife, I wasn't going to preach, so since I'll not speak in my text, I can say in a measure I've kept my word. The text is what Hanani said. He went to jail for this man. It's a sad thing when Christians, God's people, can't take the conviction from the Word of God. Yes, I couldn't take it, but listen to what Hanani said. Verse 9. As we go to prayer tonight, I trust this will be a promise from God that will encourage us. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Asa had proved that in the past. And now Hanani was reminding him, if you had just depended on the Lord, you'd still be proving this. You'd still be in the blessing. Asa, let this be a tragic reminder to us of the solemnity that God puts us in. Asa never recovered the victory. Asa never recovered the blessing. Disease, oppression, a wicked carnal spirit, these all characterized him in his declining years. And he died in tragedy. And the worst of all is this. It was all so unnecessary. The Lord said to him, you don't need to depend on the world. You don't need to depend on the flesh. You don't need to take off after the ungodly. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. You could preach a series of sermons on that alone. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro to examine, to bear witness. The eyes of the Lord in this text run to and fro to bring help, to bring defense, and to bring deliverance to the people of God. But notice this. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro in order that the Lord may show Himself strong on behalf of a people whose heart is perfect with Him. The perfect, of course, is not the perfection of sinlessness, but it is the perfection of sincerity. It's a heart that's not dissimulating. It's a heart that's honest and sincere. That's the perfect heart. And the Lord says, if your heart is sincere to God, then the Lord will show Himself strong on your behalf. I trust that the Lord will give us that kind of a heart. And I trust that the Lord will give that to you. I can't do it, but the Lord can. Give that to you as a promise, as an encouragement. Some of you are going to be seeking to be witnessing to loved ones over this Christmas holiday period. You're going to be seeking to raise a standard for God. You're feeling your weakness, your inability. Let it be an encouragement that the Lord has promised to show Himself strong in the behalf of all His people whose hearts are perfect with Him. May the Lord grant us that strength and that victory that comes through His intervention on our behalf for His own name's sake.